Last time we mentioned the two reasons that we find in Rashi as to the nature of the Isra of Amira Lenochri and Shabbos, both Nimsa Chatzacha V'Davar Davar and Shlichus. And we noted that Lahalacha, many Achronim assume that both reasons are relevant and they're nafkaminas as we discussed. I neglected to mention last time that the Rambam has a different formulation. The Rambam, at the beginning of Perek Vav, Halacha Aleph, writes the following: Asir lomer l'goy lasos lanim alacha b'shabbos etc. V'davar zeh asir midivrei sofrim kedei shelo tiyeh shabbos kala b'neihem v'yavo lasos b'atzmah. The Rambam says the reason for the Isser the Rabbanon of Amir l'Nachri is so that Shabbos shouldn't be taken lightly, and if we permit Amir l'Nachri, people may come to do malacha on their own. The Rambam isn't necessarily giving a totally different reason. The Rambam could be explaining the background behind the Rabbanon of Amir l'Akum, but the other formulations of Nesach Hefzecha and or Shlichus might be relevant at the same time. That's the mechanism, that's how you categorize it, but there is still an overarching consideration of Kadesh Lote Shabbos Kala Be'inaya. We discussed last time the Shaila that I first saw raised in Rabbi Karp's Sefer as to whether it would be permissible for a Jew, his question, and there are different variations on this theme, his question was, you have a Jew in Eretz Yisrael and Erev Shabbos who calls an Achri in New York, also Erev Shabbos, and says, please do malach on my behalf at a time that is going to be Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael, but not yet Shabbos in New York. So Rabbi Karp assumed, as a Dabar Pashat, that would be Aser. And I mentioned that Rosh Hashanah thought as a Dabar Pashat, that would be Mutter. But I found further discussion about this in some other later poskim, so I'll just share with you some of what I found. Rav Avadia has this question in Chazon Avadia Chela Gimel, pages Taf Kav Zayin, Taf Kav Ches. He begins with the other permutation, which is someone is in Eretz Yisrael and he has a business in New York, let's say. So can his workers work in New York on Erev Shabbos at a time when it's already Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael? That's variation number one. And then variation number two, can you call, let's say it's mostly Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael, and it's still Shabbos in New York? So can a Jew in Eretz Yisrael on Moshe Shabbos call a Nachri in New York, where it's still Shabbos, and ask him to do Malach on his behalf at that point? So Rav Avadi assumes that both of these situations are Mutter. Both the case where the Nachri is doing Malach on behalf of the Jew who is in Eretz Yisrael at the time that it's Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael, and the Jew in Eretz Yisrael calling on Motzei Shabbos to America when it's still Shabbos in America. So he quotes a tshuva of Dovid Mesharim, the Shaviner, Dovid Mesharim Chela Gimel Simon Pei Gimel, who is asked a similar question: can a Ben Chutz La'aretz who has a factory in Eretz Yisrael have the factory open on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galyos? So in Eretz Yisrael, it's Yom Tov Sheni, it's a regular weekday, but the owner is a Ben Chutz La'aretz for whom it is Yom Tov. So the Dovid Misharim distinguishes between the case of the early Kabbalah Shabbos that we mentioned last time, the Din L'Raman, Sibin Reisamach Vav, Reisamach Gimel, that if a person is in the Kabbalah Shabbos early, he can have another Jew perform a lach on his behalf in a situation where that other Jew have not yet been the Kabbalah Shabbos. So why do you say the same thing over here? Just like there, you're the Kabbalah Shabbos, the other person wasn't. Here too, it's Yantav for you, it's not Yantav for the Ben Eretz Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, so let the Ben Eretz Yisrael do malach on your behalf. So the Dovid Misharim says you can be mechalek in the case of the early Kabbalah Shabbos. So there, in principle, the way the Magen Rambam explains it, I didn't have to have been Mekabbalah Shabbos yet. It's not objectively Shabbos. I chose to be Mekabbalah Shabbos on my own as some form of Kabbalah. But, said the Chabiner, I may have the following mindset, that as part of my Kabbalah, I have in the back of my mind that should these circumstances arise in which a malacha needs to be performed, I could have another Jew perform the malacha on my behalf, because objectively it's not yet Shabbos. And if you were to tell me that he can't perform halacha on my behalf, so maybe that's a kabbalah betos. A kabbalah betos, like a neder betos, is not binding. So the whole early kabbalah Shabbos is predicated on the allowance that you could have another yisrael do halacha on your behalf. That's relevant where objectively it's not yet Shabbos, but it's not necessarily the same in the case of the ben chutz laaretz for whom it's yontiv period, having someone in Eretz Yisrael do malach on his behalf where it is not yontiv. That's not dependent on his kabbalah. He doesn't have a choice to say, okay, if it wasn't for this, then I wouldn't have been mekabel yontiv. That's it. Shabiner's distinction. Rav Avadia doesn't think that's correct lalacha, and he assumes that in all these cases it's going to be mutter. Alex.
Did the Shabiner's distinction apply when, let's say, an entire community accepts Shabbos? They say that their communal acceptance of Shabbos is conditional.
So that din in Shulchan Aruch doesn't apply to either. Right. So that din, that if I'm a Kabbal Shabbos early, I have another Yisrael do malacha on my behalf, that's only where there are some people are Mekabal, some people aren't. If everyone's Mekabal Shabbos early, that din doesn't apply.
So it's not the idea that I wouldn't have been a Kabbal Shabbos had I known there was a Tzorech to do.
Correct. So that's not relevant to the understanding. So Rav Avadia doesn't think that's the... That distinction is absolutely compelling. And then he quotes the Chelkas Yaakov, who has the following. Chelkas Yaakov, Rav Reich from Switzerland, in the new edition of the Chelkas Yaakov, this is Aruch Chaim Siman Pei Zayin Os Beis. Aruch Chaim Siman Pei Zayin Os Beis in the new edition of the Chelkas Yaakov. He was asked, can a non-Jew perform malacha on behalf of a Jew where the non-Jew is in a place where it's already Shabbos? They have a non-Jew in Switzerland where it's already Shabbos, and he's being asked to perform malach on behalf of the Jew in New York where it's not yet Shabbos. So it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon in New York, and it's 9 p.m. in Switzerland. So you have a non-Jew in Switzerland who's being asked to perform malach on behalf of a Jew in New York. So it's not Shabbos in New York; it's Shabbos in Switzerland. The Nakri is in Switzerland. So he says the following. Nimso chatzucha, you definitely don't have, because that's all clearly dependent on where the person giving the command is. So the Jew who's requesting the malacha to be performed in his behalf, he's in New York, where it's still Friday afternoon, so then there's unquestionably no nimso chatzucha, that's not an issue. What about shlichus? So he assumes that you can't call that shlichus if the person who, on whose behalf you're doing the malacha, is in a place where it's not Shabbos. So you can say that you could have a problem of shlichus on behalf of the Israel doing malacha on his behalf if the Jew's in a place where it's Shabbos. But if the Jew's in a place where it's not Shabbos, you can't call that shlichus. So he assumes there's no mitzachetzucha and there's no shlichus. Meaning davar davar. And he says, that's a kol shekein from the following din. The corollary to the din of the early Kabbalah Shabbos and Amir La'akum is the din of the early Kabbalah Shabbos. Sorry, the corollary of the din of Amir La'akum by the early Kabbalah Shabbos. Sorry, there again. The corollary of the din of Amir Yisrael in the case of the early Kabbalah Shabbos is the din of Amir La'akum in the case of the early Kabbalah Shabbos. So the first din that we discussed last time is in the end of Siman Reish Samach Gimel, Sif Yitzayim. The second din is in Siman Reish Samach Aleph, so take a look at your Shulchan Aruch. The Rama writes in Siman Reish Samach Aleph, Sif Aleph, Mishav Kibel Alav Shabbos Shah Ushtayim Kodum Chashesh. If a person is Mekabel Shabbos early, way early, an hour or two before dark, after black, Yachal Omar Le'ino Yehudi L'Hava Kaner, he's allowed to tell a Nachri to light a candle for him. The Shard Bar Mitzarach and other things that he needs, he can have a Nachri perform as well. So in that case, you're Mekabel Shabbos early, and it's already Shabbos for you, and you're allowed to tell a Nachri to do Malach on your behalf. So he says, Kol Shekein, if you're in a place where it's not yet Shabbos, for anyone, and you haven't even been Mekabel Shabbos, so then you can definitely tell a Nachri to do Malach on your behalf, and it doesn't make a difference if that Nachri happens to be in a place where, according to the local clock, it's already Shabbos. Now, the Chelkas Yaakov does acknowledge the following scenario. Let's say you live in a place where it is already Shabbos. Let's say it the other way. You live in a place where it's not Shabbos. And you have a business in a place where it is Shabbos. So you live in Switzerland, you have a business in New York. You live in New York, you have a business in Switzerland. So it's not Shabbos in New York, it's already Shabbos in Switzerland. So, and that's known as a Jewish business. So even if you have non-Jewish workers there, so there he says everyone should agree that you can't have that business open on Shabbos. That's known as a Jewish business. That's Al Shem Yisrael. So even in an individual situation, if I ask a private Nachmi to do malach on my behalf in Switzerland, when it's already Shabbos there and it's not Shabbos in New York, that's okay because there's no shlichus and there's no mincha chesucha. But if it's a public business that's known as a Jewish-owned business, so then you can have non-Jewish workers working in that business at a time where, according to the local clock, it's already Shabbos. He says the opposite will be okay. In Simon Pei-Hei, he says, let's say you have a business in New York, you're living in Switzerland, it's already Shabbos in Switzerland, it's not Shabbos in New York, so then you can have the workers work in the business over there. And he adds that they're, in theory, if you wanted to fly to New York, you could fly to New York. So that's just like the early Kabbalah Shabbos. If you chose to be in Kabbalah Shabbos now, you choose to be in Switzerland. If you wanted to fly to New York, you could fly to New York, and there it's not Shabbos. Okay. There's a tshuva printed in Shevet Alevi, Chela Gimel Simen Kuf Ayin Beis. Chela Gimel Simen Kuf Ayin Beis. This is not written by Reb Osner himself, it's written by one of his sons, Reb Chaim Meir Reb Osner. So he writes over there, Chela Gimel Simen Kuf Ayin Beis, that originally he thought the following. Originally he thought that the question as to whether you could have melacha performed on your behalf by a non-Jew in a place where it's Shabbos and you're in a place where it's not Shabbos, or any of those variations, that should be dependent on the original question. Are we working with mincha chesucha? Mincha chesucha, as long as your articulation is not in Shabbos, is no issue. Or are we working with shlichus? If we're working with shlichus, so he says, you could understand, he's willing to entertain that if you're in a place where it's Shabbos and the guy is doing malacha for you in a place where it's not Shabbos, that's still considered a problematic shlichus. So, as we said, that's not pashut, but he's willing to entertain that. So he says, maybe we should be telling that question. And then he suggests, maybe not. This is what I was kind of thinking of last time, but didn't see anyone say, that the whole din of Amir Nachri is din de Rabbanan anyway, according to most. So, Neheche Tesi, to apply that din de Rabbanan to strange circumstances that were never articulated earlier. It may be Ein Lecha Vo L'Chidusha, so to speak, that you only have the right to apply that din de Rabbanan to the kinds of scenarios where it was initially articulated. But in this strange case where you have people in different time zones, Shabbos here, not Shabbos there, that wasn't really contemplated at the time that the Gzeira was promulgated, some hechatesi to apply to those kinds of situations. That's suggested that he makes. Then finally, there's a tshuva of Rabbi Tzal of Sturm, Mitzel HaChachma, Chelek Dalet Simen Kuf Kafei, sorry, Chelek Gimel. Chelek Gimel Simen Kuf Kafei. So first he was asked, he's in Australia, so that's a major time difference between Melbourne and New York. So he has the two shaylas. Shayla number one, it's Motzei Shabbos in Melbourne, so are you allowed to call a non-Jew in New York, where it's still Shabbos, to do malach on your behalf? So as far as that's concerned, he assumes as a davar pasha that if you're allowed to do malach yourself, Motzei Shabbos in Melbourne, so how could Amir La'akum be any more chamer than you yourself? So I can do the malach myself here. So if I'm telling a nachri in New York to do malacha, that's going to be worse than my doing the malacha myself. So what are you talking? That you could have a scenario where a mir la'akiv is going to be worse than you're doing it yourself. Any situation in which you can do malacha yourself, it'll be merch to have enough you do malacha on your behalf. So that he assumes is a davar pasha. Yeah.
Do you take into account that the guy is nachri in New York? Like, it's a specific job for New York, so it's not basically possible the guy in Melbourne to go all the way to New York and do that quote-unquote malacha.
Therefore?
So maybe he actually can't do that malacha.
His point is that it is not that malacha. If there's no restriction on my performing malacha, lo yitachin that I can't have a nachri do malacha on my behalf, wherever the nachri may be. But then he says, whatever the opposite case. He's in Melbourne, so he calls before Shabbos in Melbourne. He calls his stockbroker in New York and says, I want you to purchase stocks for me as soon as the market opens at 9:30 on Friday. 9:30 a.m. on Friday is way Shabbos in Melbourne. So there, this is the case that we started with Rabbi Karp, right? So the whole conversation happens when it's not Shabbos for anyone, but I'm telling him, do malacha on my behalf at a time that's going to be Shabbos for me, but not Shabbos where you are. So he's inclined to say that Amir La'akum should be dependent on where the mitzav is, where the mishaleach is. So it would be prohibited for, like Rabbi Karp, it would be prohibited for this arrangement where the nachri in New York is going to buy stocks on behalf of this yid in Melbourne for whom it's already Shabbos. He thinks everything should be dependent on where the Yisrael is. And he quotes, then he acknowledges this is not an exact mashal, but he quotes the Kashuk lover, Eretz Tzvi, Simon Mem Dalit, where the Kashuk lover says, what's the din? He raises the question, what's the din where I have two Jews on opposite sides of the dateline, wherever the dateline is? That's not his issue. So there's a dateline somewhere. There's a lucky dateline somewhere. So on one side of the street, let's say the dateline goes down the middle of the street, which Chazina says is impossible. But let's assume the dateline goes down the middle of the street, and there are people on opposite sides of the street, the Shabbos in one, and Friday in the other. So the Jew for whom Shabbos screams across the street to the Jew for whom it's Friday, can you please do malacha on my behalf? So what's the story with that? The part of the question is there an Isser of Amir Yisrael, wherever there'd be an Isser of Amir La'akum? But the assumption of that question, says the Bezalel Chachma, is that his child was about Amir Yisrael. But it seems like it's Basha to the Kashuk lover that if it was an Akum in that situation, then that would definitely be Usher. You couldn't tell the Nachri on the other side of the dateline to do Malacha on your behalf. Now, why is that not exactly analogous to our case? Avi?
Assuming because what the yid is no aspect of shlichos. Maybe I'm jumping. More of a question.
No, so his assumption is, you see from there, it's V, that obviously in that case it would be us to tell the nachi to do malacha. Why is that not analogous here, Michael?
I'm going to ask a question, sorry.
Because over there, the Yisrael, a little way through Shabbos. So there you have your mitzvah chesukah problem.
Sorry?
There, the Yisrael standing in the place where it's Shabbos, and he tells the Jew across the street, where it's Friday, do malacha for me.
And it's not Sunday, and he's telling someone on...
Right.
Who's still...
Right,
still
so his case is, it's Shabbos for me, can I tell my friend across the street, where it's Friday, do malacha for me. So there you have your mitzvah chesukah problem. So it's not exactly analogous. He acknowledges that. But he assumes that as Rabbi Karp was assuming, that the Isser of Amir Menachem would be dependent on the location of the person on whose behalf the Malacha is being performed. And he says, if you're giving him money to buy something for you, that's even worse. Because in general, Amir La'akim is more chamor b'kelav shel Yisrael. That's what we saw from the Smag, that the Smag who entertains that Amir La'akim is the Raisa distinguishes, as the Marach HaSaruah distinguishes, along similar lines, between where it's Caleb Shel Yisrael and not. If it's the malacha is being performed with the property of the Jew, that may be more chomer. So he thinks that he's inclined to say that in this case it would be usher to have the Nukri in New York buy the stocks on Erev Shabbos in New York, which is already Shabbos in Australia or in Europe or in Eretz Yisrael. But then he points out, if that's true, well, in the first shayla, the guy was in Melbourne. The second shayla, the guy's in Vienna. Not that it makes a difference. I'm not sure why. Maybe that's the person who asked him. Anyway, he points out that if he's correct, then it should emerge that then Eretz Yisrael, who owns a factory in New York, would have to have his factory closed on Fridays. If he's in Melbourne, definitely. Maybe in the summer he could open until 11 in the morning. Is that true? That if you're in a place where it's Shabbos and you own a factory in a place where it's Friday, the factory can't operate? He assumes, he points out that the minhag is not that way, and apparently that doesn't seem to be common practice. But according to what he's saying, he acknowledges that should be the case.
Would it also have to be closed on Shabbos there?
It would also have to be closed on Shabbos.
You have to have 2 days Shabbos.
Right. So the truth is that he kind of is more liberal about this than the Chalkas Yaakov, because he assumes that in that case the non-Jews in New York would be able to do malacha on Saturday when it's already Moshe Shabbos in Melbourne. Even though the Chalkas Yaakov does seem to have a compelling argument that if it's all Shem Yisrael, there would be a problem. Maybe he's talking about a case where it's not with foresum that it's the business of the Jew. But you definitely have a situation then where you have to be closed for 2 days.
Based on this case we just described, could this answer the question that I had last class about, can you tell a Jew in New York when you're in Eretz Yisrael to do malacha when it's not Shabbos for the Jew? Using the same logic that it would be usher for the Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael to tell a Jew in New York to do malacha on Friday. Because it goes based on where he is at the time that malacha will be taking place.
Right, so that's part of the issue of the Eretz V. Do we say that there's an Isser of Amir LeYisrael whenever there's an Isser of Amir LeAkum? Or maybe the Zera doesn't apply the Osa Hamida.
Also, do you mind explaining why he's saying that he's telling Yisrael would be worse than telling Nachri? In the case we said about the time zone on the line,
he's not saying it's worse, he's saying it might be better. The question is there an Isser of Amir Lachim? Is an Isser of Amir Lachim? Do we find such an Isser of Amir Yisrael? That's the question that he poses. That's not so clear. Okay. Now, we left off last time discussing a four-way machlokas rishonim, how to understand the sugya erevin of ishtapet chamimi, as to how broad the allowance is to be makel under certain circumstances of a meir lachem. So the majority opinion of rishonim, which is having the chaver paskins based on the Rambam in Simin Shin Zayin Shepei, is that there is an allowance of performing a malacha ayde akum if it's a zirabanan. What we refer to as the Shavuos B'Makom Mitzvah. That the model of Ishtapet Chamimi is not limited to Bris Milah, it applies to any Tzarech Mitzvah. So for any Tzarech Mitzvah, there's an allowance of the Shavuos B'Makom Mitzvah, as opposed to the Bali Tosos, which is the Yesh Kolkim Kod Shulchan Aruch, that's a limited halacha only to Bris Milah, and doesn't apply more broadly. And then there's the position of the Bala Iter, quoted by the Ramah in Reish Ayin Vav, that allows even the performance of a malacha d'oraisa ayidei nachri litzarech mitzvah, based on at least the way the Ran explains it, the Iter's understanding of that sugya based on the Bahag, that the allowance of the situation where malacha is performed ayyidei nachri, and that's like an erevin with even a malacha deraisa, and then the extrapolation that that's true not only by bris milah but true for other tzarchi mitzvah as well. And the Ramah says that in principle we don't accept the iter, but that seems to be the basis of a relatively prevalent minhag to be neko and could be allowed under certain circumstances with tzarech gadol in tzarech judah. And then the fourth position in Rishonim that doesn't make it explicitly for Shulchan Aruch, that of the Rabbeinu Yonah, according to the Rashba in Shabbos and the Ritva in Erevin, which distinguishes between different qualities of the Malacha and the allowance to have a Nachri perform a Malacha, perhaps even a Malacha Daraisa. The Malacha Mitzvah is limited to Hotzah, the kind of Malacha where there's no Shinui done to the Chepetz itself. Judah. So according to the Baal Iter, the sugya in Erevin is talking about the performance of a malacha d'araisa, and therefore you'd be allowed to ali de nachri, and therefore you'd be allowed to perform a malacha d'araisa ali de nachri b'makom mitzvah. According to the other Rishonim, the sugya there is only talking about a malacha d'rabbanan, hafsad d'arakarmelis, and therefore there's no evidence for allowance of anything beyond an issur d'rabbanan ali de nachri. Okay.
So the four sheikhs are. You have the Rambam, you have the Tosfos, right? You have the Bahag, you have the Iter. Okay, the Bahag is an
extension of the Bahag. The Bahag is only talking about Mila. The Iter, the way the Rambam explains the Iter expands the Bahag to other mitzvahs as well.
Okay, so Tosfos also, then why the Tosfos include Tosfos as an extension to other mitzvahs either?
No, Tosfos assumes that Tosfos acknowledges that the need of that sugi is only an issur d'rabbanan ali de yachid. And the Bahag is talking about an issur d'raisa ali de yachid.
Okay, so it's four.
Right. Okay. Fine. So, again, let's look at the Ramah once more in Siman Reish Ayin Vav. The Ramah writes, "Yesh Omer the Mutter Lomer Leino Yehudi Lahadlik Lo Ner Lisudas Shabbos Mishum the Sfir Le the Mutter Amir La Nachri Afilu B'Malacha Gemur B'Malka Mitzvah." So some say that you're allowed to have a Nachri light a candle with Sarah through the Shabbos because they assume that Amir La Nachri is Mutter even on a Malacha Deraisa B'Malka Mitzvah. Sha'al Pizeh Nahagu Rabim Lahakil V'Davar L'Savos Leino Yehudi Lahadlik Ner L'Sarah Sudah. And many people had the practice of relying on this position to lichachila or to allow telling nachrim to light candles, the tzarech suda, the frag suda schasim amila, the ein mocha v'yadam, and people do not protest. The esh lahachmir b'makom she'ein tzarech gadol. Even though there was such a practice, you should be machmir barring a tzarech gadol. The rav ha'poskim kolkam ha'svarzu. Most poskim argue on this position of the Baal Ha'iter. Okay, so just keep your finger there in Reish Ayin Vav, and let's go back to Siman Shin Hei for a moment. Siman Shin Hei, Se'if Hei. The Mishabur, their comments in Sif Kaf and Yin Zayin. Sorry, Shin Zayin. Shin Zayin Sif Hei. So the Mishabur there in Sif Katan Yud Zayin writes the following. I'm sorry, Yud Tes. Sivkat and Yud Tes. Again. Simon Shin Zayin, Sivkat and Yud Tes. Aval Dabar Shi Yisura Bin HaTorah Asar Ayidei En Yehudi. That which is a malacha d'raisa is aser ayidei nachri, afilu l'dvar mitzvah, even for a dvar mitzvah, ketol kamam et simen shin lamet alef se'if vav, v'alkein, aser lomer le'ina yehudi l'halik ner k'dei l'ilmod l'ospal. So, l'maisa, you're not allowed to ask a nachri to light a candle for you to enable your learning or to enable your tefillah. So, that presumably is a malacha mitzvah. So, according to the Iter, it would have been permissible to have a Nachri light a candle for you in order to allow you to daven or to learn. But Lahalacha, given that we don't accept the iter barring exceptional circumstances, the Mishnah Berurah says you would not be allowed to tell a Nachri to light a candle for you. Now, nowadays when we have LEDs and fluorescent lights, which according to many poskim may be derabanan, the equation may be slightly altered. Now go back to Reish Ayin Vav. So there the Ramaz, we said, notes that b'makom tzorach gadol, there may be what to rely on to invoke the iter. What's considered tzorach gadol? So take a look there in the Mishnah Berurah, first the Katan Kavdalid. Mishnah Berurah writes Kavdalid, v'shalah hithmir af l'tzorach gadol. The shalah was mafmir not to rely on the iter even l'tzorach gadol. The Shekain Ra Noagin the Kihilas Khashuvim. Sheyoshim the Khashekha Bemote Shabis Afila Bhasana. And he saw people in Khashiva places who would sit in the dark on Mose Shabbos, even the Shabbos of Bhasana with a lot of people, Acha Amir Kal Barakum until the Damar, until Shabbos is over. Even though that's Ben Ashmashos, so we'll have to talk about the heter of Emil Akum Ben Ashmashos. But that's what the Shalah reported. Uprimagada mitzadi lahaki lahalakai de in a yudim at the Shabbos of Mitzvah, after she was dying Ben Ashmashos, because she came to Erev Shabbos Ben Ashmashos of Mitzvah, the Vivadi Mutter. So we'll have to see that allowance that we'll get to about Malachai de Nachri Ben Ashmashos of Erev Shabbos, does that apply the same way? The Ben Ashmashos Amotzei Shabbos. And Mishnah Berurah is quoting the Shalah that against the Ramah that there are basically no circumstances in which you can rely on the position of the Iter. Michael.
Didn't the Shalah say that you only have to tell a boy during Ben Ashmashos to the Rabbanon?
No, you could have a Mir Lahakim even on the devices with the Ben Ashmashos. So we'll get to that later in Simchat Hay. Okay, and then the Mishnah Berurah says in Sipkat and Kafei. Mikol Makom, even though in general we're mafmir, we don't lie in the iter. Mikol Makom, mutter lomer le'ini Yehudi l'takin es eirav shenis galka b'Shabbos. You're allowed to have a nochri fix an eirav that got messed up on Shabbos. Kedei shelo yavo rabim lidei michshol, so that there won't be a michshol. If you don't fix the eirav, people are going to be michshol in the yisur hotzah. So there, where there's a potential michshol, you're allowed to have a mir l'nafi even on deraisa. Ukidai yibal iter lismach alav lahatir shvist amira afil b'malacha deraisa b'malka mitzvah derabim. So the Mishnah Berurah says this is malka michshol slash mitzvah derabim, and there's license to rely on the bal ha'iter. The Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Yom Kippur. Simen taf resh kaf gimel sif katan gimel. Simon Tuf Reish Kaf Gimel Sifkat and Gimel references a practice, and we'll see in a moment this is discussed by the Nodim Yehuda, references a practice where people on Yom Kippur would have Nachrim come to Shul to light candles at the beginning of Ne'ilah in order to be able to see what they're doing. So the Mishnah Berurah says that we should be mevatel that minog. That's an inappropriate minog to have nachrim light candles for ne'ilah. So this is discussed in Tshuvas Nodav Yehuda Kama Arachayim Simin Lamed Gimel. Tshuvas Nodav Yehuda Kama Arachayim Simin Lamed Gimel. So the Shoel to the Nodav Yehuda was bothered by what he noted was a seemingly common practice, that people would have nothing come and light candles on Yom Kippur before Ne'ilah. So the Nodav Yehuda says that you should know, here in Prague, we got rid of that minhag. Sounds like when the Nodav Yehuda came to town, that had been the practice, and the Nodav Yehuda eliminated it. And he says in his previous Rabbanus also, he found this practice and he eliminated it when he got to town. He allowed, if there are candles somewhere else, he allowed the Nachrim to move the candles to more strategic locations, because that's only an issue of tilta muksa, and that's a shvus de shvus. What about the people that have this practice of lighting candles, ayde nafri for ne'ilah? So they're relying on the Baal Iter, and people think that it's the Tzarek Gadol. Says in Rabbi Yehuda, that's difficult to accept. Kasha Ma'od, B'yom HaKadosh Hazeh, Lifnos B'Pirsa D'Chuka. So on Yom Kippur, the Holy Day of the Year, we're going to rely on a problematic Kula, Lismar Haldas Yafid. He says, if it's already dark, and the people haven't yet davened the Shtil Shmona Esrei, so maybe that's considered Tzarek Gadol, because if you don't have any light, they don't know the Yila by heart, so they won't be able to daven at all. So even though the Nodim Yehuda wouldn't allow for that L'chachila, but if people do it, you don't have to be Melech HaNachlem. But if they already daven the Shtil Shmona Esrei, and what do you need the light for? You need the light to read the piyutim. So better not to say the piyutim. Don't say the piyutim. Don't say the slichos. Presumably, there's one candle there next to the shatz. So the shatz will have light to read from his matzor, and everyone else will listen. So better not to say the piyutim along with the shatz, rather than to rely on a problematic application of the Baal Ha'iter.
Ali. Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out where did the Ramah exactly agree with the Baal Iter? That was Mishnah Berurah.
No, the Ramah says that with Tzarek Gadol you can rely on it.
Right. Okay, so the Ramah said that, but then we said that the Goyim lighting, no, that's the other one. We said that the fixing of the Erev.
Right.
That was Mishnah
Berurah. That was Mishnah Berurah, says that that's considered a mitzvah derabim slash michshel.
So in a situation. What was the Ramah type there where we can now?
Well, the Ramah said Tzarek Gadol. So Mishnah Berurah said that's a kind of Tzarek Gadol.
He just said the Tzarek Gadol leaving it blank, and the Mishnah Berurah is an example.
Right, exactly. Okay. Ramosha has the following shiva, Chelik Beis Simen Mem Beis, or Chaim Chelik Beis Simen Mem Beis. The shiva was, there was a shul with an air conditioner, and the air conditioner was set on a timer, and it went on Shabbos, and this never happened before or after, but apparently the weather forecasters made a mistake, and they were expecting it to be a hot day. And it ended up being a cold day. And it was too cold for the people davening there. And people were leaving shul because it's too cold. So are you allowed to have enough and come and turn the air conditioner off? Because that's Tzarech Rabim. And maybe Tzarech Rabim is subsumed under the Tzarech Gadol of the Ramah to allow reliance on the Baal Iter. So Ramoshi here, for purposes of this... the Shaila is assuming, or at least Choshesh, that electricity may be a deraisa, that turning off the air conditioner would involve a malacha deraisa. So he says, if it's in a situation where there are a lot of people in shul who can't take it, or they may get sick, so then you're allowed to tell the Nakri to turn off the electricity in order so the Mispalim shouldn't be cold. And even though, in general, we're machmir not to rely on the Baal Iter, in the case of lighting a candle for the Seudas Shabbos, but with Tzarech Mitzvah Derabim, you could be mako, just like the Mishnah Berurah says, related to the Erev that got messed up. So that's considered Tzarech Mitzvah Derabim. Here also, to allow people to remain in shul is considered Tzarech Mitzvah Derabim. Because otherwise we'll be Mevatel Tefillah B'Tzibur and Kriyas HaTorah. And he said, after all, it's not at all clear that turning off the air conditioner involved in Malacha Deraisa. So it's not Malacha Deraisa, definitely Mutter. But Moshe seems to be saying, even if it was a Deraisa, is what to rely on to consider this Tzarech Mitzvah Derabim. But he says, if the forecast was not that it's going to be hot, so you shouldn't l'chachila set the air conditioner to go on a Shabbos and have in the back of your mind that if it's too cold, you're going to get enough, you turn it off. Okay. Rabbi Simcha Bunim Kohn, in his English volume on Amir Lakum, I forget what it's called in English.
Sanctity of Shabbos.
Okay. So he quotes the Shem of Aaron Cutler, that Rabbi Riviat quotes this B'Shem Rabban Kalar also. I don't know if Rabbi Riviat saw it in Rabbi Cohen's sefer first. But they quote from Rabban Kalar that you're allowed to have a Nochri turn on the lights to facilitate Limud Torah the Rabbit. So if you're in a base medrash and somehow the lights go off or the fuse blows and the people in the base medrash can't learn, so then you're allowed to have a Nochri turn on the lights because that's considered Sorech Rabbit. Rav Yashiv has a brief tshuva printed in Kovitz Tshuva Chelek Aleph Simen Lamed Beis Os Gimel. Kovitz Tshuva Chelek Aleph Simen Lamed Beis Os Gimel. So this doesn't necessarily argue on what we just quoted from Aaron Cutler, but it goes in a different direction. So he was asked about whether, again, also assuming that an air conditioner is a malacha deraisa, which most assume not the case, but assuming that electricity is a malacha deraisa, if you're in a base medrash where it's stifling hot and there's no air conditioning, can you have enough, you turn on the air conditioner on Shabbos to facilitate Limud HaTorah among the B'nai HaYeshiva? So Rav Yashiv is reluctant to allow reliance on the Bala Iter. The way he says it is, for B'nai Yeshiva, which is the Nido in Ashayla, you shouldn't rely on the Bala Iter. So the B'nai Yeshiva, so they can learn even if it's hot. And he said that'll be begeder Torah she lomdim ba'af, that you know, literally Torah with sweat, and he thinks that they should just grin and bear it. And make the best of it. So that doesn't mean that, you know, if you could distinguish between that response and what you would say in a base medrash which is pitch black, where there's no brera, even though turning on lights, depending on what kind of lights there were, maybe a deraisa, so air conditioning more likely there, but anyway, there'll be yashiv there, but assuming air conditioning is a deraisa. Rav Avadia has the following interesting shaila. Yabia Omer Chela Gimel Arachayim Simen Kaf Gimel. Chela Gimel Arachayim Simen Kaf Gimel. So he writes that when he got to Egypt, he noticed, or the practice in Egypt was, that they would have a Nochri hired before Shabbos to come to Shul on Shabbos, and he would sit in a room right next to the Shul. And he'd write down all the mishanadars, all the nadavas that people pledged when they got their aliyahs, record of who pledged what. So is that appropriate? Chelek gimel arachayim simen kaf gimel. So most of the tshuva addresses whether what forms of ksiv are considered ksiv in the Torah. That's not our topic now. That foreign languages and definitely ksav mishita or cursive script may not be a malacha deraisa. So the bulk of the tshuva deals with whether it's a deraisa derabanan. And then at the end, he says, well, even if it's a malacha deraisa, beginning from Osi Zayin, even if it's a malacha deraisa, it is true that we have the shita sbala iter, even though the mechaber Rama is the one who quotes the iter, at least to justify local practice and allows reliance on it under extenuating circumstances. Mechaber doesn't mention the iter at all. But Rav Avadia says the iter is not a shita yachid. There are other rishonim who say like him also, mostly other chachmei Provence, like the Miftam and the Manig and the Ravid, and the Meiri, of course, such a day. So it sounds like this whole position was limited to Provence. But be that as it may, the Bala Iter is not a shita yachid. So he says that given that there are other Rishonim who say like the Iter, and there may be what to rely on to follow the Iter of Malkum Sarach Gadol, and there's a tradition many Achronim have that we weren't mocha against people who had the nakri like candles on Shabbos for Suda Shabbos. So even though we wouldn't advise this, but he doesn't think that you should lose your job over it. And if that was a practice in the shul for many generations, there are other things that Rav Avadia saw in Cairo that he thought you should lose your job over it. He did lose the job over it. But kind of. But this he thought wasn't worth losing your job over. That's like what the chef of course from the Rav, that when the Rav came to Boston, he was upset that the practice there wasn't practiced in other places, was not to duchen and yontiv on Shabbos. If yontiv fell on Shabbos, the practice was not to duchen. So the Rav thought that was al pi halacha totally wrong. And he fought with the Baal Batim, and the Baal Batim won, and he got fired over that. So Rav Shafi says that the Rav remarked afterwards that he thought his position was still correct, but he didn't think it was worth losing a job over. So Rav Adyer also doesn't think that it's justified to have the Nachri writing down the Mishan Adars next to the show, but he didn't think it was worth losing his job over. He does write that if the Nachri is in the Shul Mamish, so that's the Chil Hashem. He was in the side room, so if people didn't see him, he didn't think he had to be Mocha. But if he would have been in the Shul, that would have been worse. Okay, so Mayor?
The Raisa.
They didn't have fluorescent bulbs in the 50s. Yeah?
The case with Rav Avadia, is it specific to the fact that they already have an established custom that they quote-unquote...
Well, all he's saying is that you don't have to be mocha. He's not saying you should do it. He's saying because there's what to justify it with, you don't have to be mocha.
Would he say that if there was an established custom, if something didn't pass like 20 years, that would then that you should fight over it because it's not an established custom?
Could be. Okay. Then Rav Avadia writes in Chazon Avadia, page Taf Lamed Beis, that if you have a big Suda Smithville, like a Suda Shavar Brachos, and the electricity goes out, then he thinks that you can rely on a combination of factors, and the Mitzarek, those Achronim will hold that electricity, the Chalal is Derabbanon, even an electric light is Derabbanon. Not a vara. Excuse me. So even though we don't generally assume that way when it comes to turning on lights, incandescent, but here you can betzirif that and the itter and kavod abrios, you can rely on those positions that electricity is ali derabanan and have a nakri perform malacha on your behalf and turn on the lights. Yeah.
You say
like
incandescent bulb is also derabanan?
No. Oh no. Wait. The minority opinion in the early Rakhonim that even an incandescent bulb is only Darabonin, right? Like the Marsham has that suggested and others, correct. Even though we don't assume that way, but here you can rely on that opinion, Bitsirov, to have someone turn on the lights under these circumstances.
Do those opinions say that because they don't know what's going on? Like, I'm saying, it's like pretty clear that it's a spark, like...
Partially, yeah, but that's partially yes. But that's a larger discussion. Okay. Fine. So let's go back now to discuss the Ikara Din of Shvus to Shvus B'Malkah Mitzvah. So back to Simon Shin Hei, Sif Hei, quoting from the Rambam. So the Mechav, according to the Rambam, has three subcategories where you can allow Shvus to Shvus Malka Mitzvah, Mixas Choli, Tzarech Harbe, and Mitzvah. Tzarech Harbe is sometimes referred to as Hefzid. Mishnah Berurah and Katan Kaf Beis. Kosam Magen Avraham Dafka Malkam Hefzid Gadol. Then, of course, all your rabbis will get to them, maybe even Hefzid Gadol, there's no Kula. So Rav Yitzchok Silverstein has a sefer called Malachim Amenecha on Hilchos Amira Le Nachri, also printed in the 80s, like the Torah Sayoledes. So in the beginning of Perek Vav, he says there's an easy mnemonic to remember the three situations in which Shvus to Shvus is permissible. The mnemonic is in Yoni Diyama, Matzah. Mem for Mitzvah, Tzadi for Tsar, and Hay for Hesed. Matzah. Sorry? Kavavios is not quoted in the Rambam. We'll get to Kavavios, but in Shulchan Aruch here, there are three, the initial formulation of these three categories. Those are the three situations in which Amir Lenachri and Adarabana would be mutter. Shvus to Shvus, B'makom Mitzvah, B'makom Hesed, B'makom Tsar, / Choli. Okay? Now, how do we know Makom Choli? We're not going to talk about now. We discussed that when we discussed Rifu B'Shabbos.
What kind of Chol is it? I mean, if a Chol is she aimed to come, there's no, you don't need a, the whole Amir Lenachri is.
No, that's even by we'll pick up that next time.